Jimmy Smith goes for the shiny in the back of the net.
Keep your eye on goal of the day. That's got to be a contender early on. He takes the right foot shot. Oh my goodness me!
And you would, as a Crawley fan, begin to believe the 3 points are yours.
It's the best night of Crawley Town's lives. And there may be more to come.
Hello. And welcome back to the Straight Red Podcast. Wow, that's been a really long time since those words have come out of my mouth. But just in case you've forgotten who we are, and I'm not going to blame you if you have forgotten because it has been a really long time. We'll give you the dates in a second. I'm Jonathan, and sat across on the screen, many miles away from me, I imagine, is
Ewan.
Yeah,
we're back. I can't believe it. I was just having a look, a little history lesson, and I am certain there's lots of fans that have never heard our voices either. Okay, so this is an introduction and a welcome back, but this is officially, Jonathan, podcast number 27, okay? Episode 26 was in February 2021, but as we've both agreed recently, and as we mentioned, so we kicked off Twitter again, there is far, far too much going on for us not to be talking about it. And in that sort of 18-month gap, there's been no podcast really that sort of taken our place. So we've just sort of come back to fill that gap, and hopefully we can kind of kick off where we left off. But I think this is a little intro episode, a very small episode 27, to reintroduce ourselves, dust off the mics, make sure we know how things work. Jonathan, you'll be editing afterwards. Now, what I will say on this one, although we are sat on a screen facing each other, the absolute intention is to get back into a little studio and do these absolutely properly, and also sit down with some guests, which we'll talk about later. But just as a one-off, because it is 10 past 9 p.m. on the 5th of October, it's a late one, so we decided just to kick this one off from home.
Yes, most definitely. And for people listening who maybe haven't heard us before, shall we give a little, I guess, context to who we are? So Ewan and I, we used to commentate together at Crawley Town on the matches for many, many years. I think for probably at least over 5 years. So we've seen quite a lot of the recent movements of the team up close. Before that, Ewan, you worked at the club in marketing.
I was commercial manager from 2010 to 2016, which is when we started commentating. So yeah, it's been a long old journey. And do you know what, over the last 18 months, both of us, we've had career changes, extracurricular activity. I've got a 2-year-old boy now. We have just been so insanely busy. We haven't time to fit these in, but we've made a commitment to each other, Jonathan, haven't we? We've made a long-term commitment.
And a commitment to the fans as well.
We thought now is about time. There's just too much going on for us not to be just to be an extra voice. And we are, it's not just me and Jonathan, we are, as always, your voice as well. We are not scared to ask the difficult questions, get the tough interviews, and speak to people that you want us to speak to. We're not afraid to ask the important questions on Twitter or sort of dig a little bit deeper. We are your podcast. We'll talk about this week. We're going to go back, and we had some really good segments, I think, last time. So we're going to stick with some of those. But because of the manner that me and Jonathan are still busy and we can't get to as many games as we used to, we'll definitely be looking for your listener, fan involvement a lot more, and your input, and we'll come on to that. But it's going to be a very much more, not just me and Jonathan, this is everyone's podcast.
Yes, most definitely. It's, you know, it's, what's the tagline again? For the fans, by the fans, I think it is.
Something like that. Yeah.
We very much want, you know, everyone to have an input into this, and, you know, hear your voice on this podcast, and create great discussion and great points that we've had in the past, and continue doing that into the future. Even when we haven't been doing this podcast, actually, Ewan, we've been having some inquiries made by, you know, BBC Sussex and Surrey, Five Live. They're just wanting to get a voice in from the fans, and we are seen as that, so we love your contributions.
Yeah, I remember at our peak, I'll say, in our heyday, we had we had some brilliant episodes, and four or five times, this is blowing our own trumpet now, we gave headlines to the back pages of the Crawley Observer and the Crawley News. We were a fairly not a big deal like Anchorman, but we were a great source, because we did and do know so many people behind the scenes and at the club, and we absolutely could get those pretty cool scoops, which might be a bit harder now that times have passed and ownership has changed and staff behind the scenes has changed, but believe us, we will do our absolute best to get the absolutely sort of the deepest, darkest and best information that we possibly can.
And before we do start cracking on a little bit further into the podcast, one final thing, but by no means the least, I think is just the warm reaction that we've had from all of the fans when the idea was floated on Twitter a few weeks ago now, I think, about us maybe dusting off the mic and coming back. I, for one, did not expect such a warm reception, and it was very lovely. And so, you know, I think just, you know, thank you. And it's, I don't know what else to say. Heartfelt, yeah, totally gratitude, agree. Really.
Yeah. Totally agree. It's been absolutely great. Yeah. And we've really been looking forward to it. And I wish we'd done it a little bit sooner, maybe, because I think like we've missed a little bit of the amazing stories over the last 6 months. And we are not going to go back any further than a couple of weeks for this podcast. And even going forward, we're not going to be talking about the takeover or Zaya, etc. We're going to sort of do a clean break from now and just sort of keep moving forward. But naturally, there are stories in the mix now that have been going on for a month or so, so we're going to be discussing those. But clean break from here, and I honestly can't wait, mate.
Yeah, neither can I. So you mentioned that some segments are going to go, we're going to be keeping some segments, and we're going to be adding a few new segments, because this is probably going to be realistically sort of a once a month kind of offering that will be put forward, and so therefore we're going to have to naturally change things because of that. So I'm eager to know what's the first segment we're keeping, at least.
And now the reason that Jonathan is asking me this is because literally this is the first time we've spoken probably in about 18 months. We've sort of messaged back and forth, but this is us getting back together, really genuinely, like literally getting back together live. So we've really not discussed anything about what we're going to do with the podcast. But today, during my normal work, I've been making some notes. So I think the natural ones to stay are, we're definitely going to have Broadfield Buzz. For those that don't know, that is where we go through like sort of quick fire, the news of what's going on around the club, inside and out over the, since the last podcast, really easy one to kick in there. The big question, we always ask you one question and your answer. We have got one for this episode, which we asked earlier on today. It was only open for about 8 hours, the question, because I only posted it first thing this morning. But we always get the big question, which is your opinion and answer on something. I quite liked, Jonathan, at the end of sort of, let's say, Straight Red V1, when we ended the last few episodes, we had a fan of the month, which you, that was your segment. I want you to take that back on.
We need to find another piece of cheesy music to be played when we announce the fan of the month. Okay, yes. This is coming back to me now.
Yeah. And also at the very end, added time. The last few minutes is where we just bring in a few things where maybe they didn't quite fit into a new section or a big sort of talking point, but nice things going on around the club, something to be aware of. And I've even got a couple today to chuck in at the very end as well. Now, new segments. This is exciting.
Yes.
New segments for the comeback. The most important one, I've already alluded to it, is we want a lot more of your listener contribution. Okay, in my head, and this is like just like off the bat here, in my head, what that might look like is, at the end of a match day, any single fan can be willing, or please do send us 10 to 15 seconds voice note, DM it to us on the Twitter account, and it'll all be, obviously we'll know who you are, but we'll keep it completely anonymous apart from your voice, unless it's really distinctive. We want a 10 or 15 seconds, your opinion on the game, what's happening in the club, your feelings towards what's, whether it's a great atmosphere, a bad atmosphere, talk about the manager, players, whatever, just 10 to 15 seconds. And that, in my head right now, working title, match day montage. Match day montage. Okay, so what we would do is remind you all on the day of a game, just say, please remember to send in your 10 or 15 seconds clips after the game, and hopefully we get four or five, and it will just be a 90 second segment where we get six fans, 15 seconds each that you've sent us, and we stitch them together and you say, look, this is the feeling of the club. This is your podcast. This is how you're feeling right now. And then we'll maybe dissect it a little bit. It would be very, very helpful if when you do that 10 to 15 seconds, and I've really got fingers crossed that you do, if we can get this sort of rolling, and I'm happy to have like the same six people every game. Like you could be your own little character. You grab your own bit of the podcast. It's all good by us. If you're going to do it, please, and I'll say this politely, please don't go, the game was good, I enjoyed it, he played well, I don't like the manager. Okay? This is like an entertaining podcast, hopefully, so spice it up. What we want is, that bloody manager, can't keep playing out from the back. Who do you think he is? Under Arsenal under 21s? What is an NFT anyway? You Red Army? that.
Interesting accent.
Don't know who that was.
Maybe
but
Crawley.
Yeah, so somewhere in between those... So let us know how you're feeling in your voice and in your words.
Yeah, and I think it's probably safe to say probably no one's too young as long as they can speak, and no one's too old.
Yeah.
You know,
aren't you guardian's permission?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're listening and your kids want to get involved and they're not on Twitter, by all means, you know, get them involved. We'd love to hear
Defo. One thing I would like us to do a bit more of, looking back, over 27 episodes and some extra interviews on top of that. We got some really good interviews in the past, some really sort of really fantastic answers as well. Next week, all going well, everything going to plan, we've got a massive interview next week, haven't we, Jonathan? Don't you dare say who. But
so my lips moving.
We're really excited about it, and we'll let you know nearer the time, but we're keeping it under wraps, but we've got a great interview lined up for next week already. And I think as well as having regular sort of standard episodes like we're talking about now, we'd like to get those really big interviews that the people that you want to hear from. Somebody that I am so keen to get on this podcast.
I can probably guess who you're going to say.
That means it's not this person next week, but got to get Hong Kong Paul.
Yes.
Absolutely got to. And I know he listens. He's our number one fan. He'll be the first person to listen to this episode.
Thank you, Paul. And Paul's provided us with a lot of the equipment as well and helped to finance that. So, would be wonderful to chat to him at some point. Yeah. And I think this is the segment I'm most excited about, actually. Mm. It's certainly allows for a different insight. We're not the media. We ask questions differently, and we're coming from a fan perspective at the end of the day. So it always throws up something a little bit different. You know, people answer slightly differently because we aren't the media, and that means something different.
And just to touch on that, that's always been our massive, like I say, benefit, that we can ask questions that you see all the time. Classic one this week or last week when Kevin Betsy was getting interviewed after the latest loss. And because all the social media that comes out of Crawley, those interviews taking place, the interviewers are members of staff at Crawley. They can't ask the questions that we all want the answers to. Classic one, in that same interview last week, Kevin Betsy was mentioning that, there's things I've had to change at this club that I shouldn't have to change at a League Two football club. The next question is, what things?
What are they? Yeah,
and it was completely brushed over. What things? Ask that question. That is what we ask. Those questions, okay? That sort of grinds me a little bit when they just ask. And I get it. This is not having a go at the interviewer at all. They are employed by the club. They've got to ask the easy, friendly questions, and that's absolutely fine. But somebody's got to be asking the ones that we want the answers to. So the big interview was one we'd love to get on, and your suggestions for segments. We always say this is your podcast, we're the voices, but we're doing it for you. So what do you want to hear? What segments would you like introduced, or what would you want us to focus on? What would you want us to drop? And as we've always done with the podcast, it has grown and adapted and changed. If you listen to our first two podcasts, they'll sound nothing like the last two, because we changed the show so much. So we really want to know what you think of it and where do you want it to go. This isn't a proper episode. There's no real segments in this one. But this is just as sort of coming back and describing what's going to be happening over the next, hopefully, forever. 1 month, every month, forever. Who knows? And yeah, that's the sort of segments ideas, what we're keeping, where we're going, what we're going to be moving towards.
Yeah, sounds wonderful. Shall we dig into a bit of Broadfield buzz then?
Let's do a Broadfield buzz. I know we're live, but in editing, I'm trusting right now you're going to put in there the little theme tune now.
I can imagine that little theme tune in my head right now as well. Horrendous. Obviously, the real clip is better than what we made it out to be.
Right, so Broadfield Buzz. Like I said, we're going to skip over everything from the takeover to summer signings up until quite recently. What we will all very, very pointedly talk about right now. And this is just me and Jonathan's. This is our first ever conversation about this, okay? I'm going to ask you a question, Jonathan. WAGMI, crypto, NFTs, where is it with you?
Well, interestingly, this was the very question I think that Sussex and Surrey asked me a couple months ago, literally just after the takeover had been confirmed. I get that people were on the fence on the time and a lot of people were opposed to it. I think it's a gamble, but I think it's good. If it pays off, I think Crawley, first of all, could be setting a model here for other football clubs, trend setting, if you will, which I think is always a risky business. You've got to be brave, but with great risk comes great reward kind of thing. And so I would like to sit on the side of the fence, which is saying, actually, it's going to be a fantastic thing and we're going to need a bit of work, but it's going to potentially propel us forward. The reason I say this is because, well, history in the past couple of years has shown us that it takes a lot of money to push you up the table and to get you in the right place. And yes, obviously you need the right players there and the right managers there, but money at this stage is a fair portion of it as well. And especially for Crawley Town, who are operating on, I think at the time was one of the smallest budgets in League Two, if not, the Football League as a whole, to be honest with you. And so we needed some cash injection and I didn't see any other way that cash injection would come. So quite frankly, I was quite happy that someone was willing to try something new because we were just going through the same motions over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you almost entirely there. I think the scary thing is, if you've been a fan for 30, 40 years, in fact, just doing it the old-fashioned way, the normal way, is safe and that's nice. Okay,
and we know it, don't we? Because it's a tried and tested model, and unless you really make a real cock up that is probably going to be done over a longer period of time, we know what. But then I'd like to say, and this is not me piling the pressure on people like Hong Kong Paul, but I would like to say that we have people out there that love the club enough that it really, if Crawley did get in, a nasty place, I would like to think that we would get dug out with love,
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Yeah, I do. And I would cross my fingers and hope the same too. I think the WAGMI model, let's call it, the scary thing, and I don't find it scary at all, but I think the scary or the anxiety-inducing thing about it is it's just so different. It's such a new model. It is groundbreaking with the NFTs and the way they've done sort of the kit launching. And a lot of people who are anti or crypto skeptical in general, that added a massive extra load of fear. Personally, I am completely pro cryptocurrency. my bags are full. I'm ready to make generational wealth. I'm all in.
Well, on a vague tangent, but on the same topic in a way, ex Crawley Town footballer David Hunt. Mm-hmm. I've been in touch with him recently. He had a conversation with him the other week. He's in the crypto world. He's in the NFT world. It was very interesting talking to him about it all, from what he's doing and why he believes that's a good model going forward. Potential interview for another episode, but I just definitely thought it fitted quite well.
No, that's great. No, I mean, just on a personal level, I am totally pro cryptocurrency. I the more you know, the more you know. It's a silly thing to say, but it's absolutely true. And what you tend to find is people that you talk to about crypto, and they dismiss it as a, I just can't stand the word scam when they say that. The less research they've done, the less, of course, they understand it. And the more you do, that it is the future of world currency, in my opinion. And we're at such early stages. I absolutely love it. I'm all over it. So when it came to be like a cryptocurrency or investor board coming on for Crawley, I was like, wow, this is incredible. But I completely get that those people that maybe don't understand it as much, that did cause a lot of anxiety and like, what is this fake internet money that's coming into our club or these people? And yeah, it could all completely and utterly, the bubble could utterly burst, but everything in life's a risk. And this is a big one. But I think some of the initiatives they've done, such as the NFTs, yeah, it's risky, but again, I'm quite proud to be at a club that is currently so groundbreaking. I am more than happy to absolutely fall on my sword in a few years time if it all went completely wrong and say, yeah, didn't work, that's gutting. But now I'm trying to understand some of the marketing and sort of branding that they do is a bit too far out there even for me, with like the Sidemen thing the last couple of weeks. Again, I get it. It reminded me of like the Mark Wright signing. You're just doing it. He was never going to be a squad player.
Things like the Sidemen thing, though, do probably engage the younger demographic, shall we say.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But at the same time, when you're trying so hard to engage a younger demographic, you alienate the older demographic at exactly the same time. I don't know where this perfect golden line is where you can appease everybody. I don't think you can. But in terms of crypto, WAGMI, NFTs, I'm all for it. I'm really supportive of it.
And I can see, though, you know, why people are maybe sceptical of it. It's an unregulated market, isn't it, really, mm-hmm. at the end of the day? So what is there to save us? But yeah, maybe we will get David Hunt in. You know, this is me speaking out loud. I haven't spoken to him and asked him specifically, but he could be a good voice, you know, to get into this. If he's, you know, working in that market area, it could be a good place. You know, he's played at the club before. Mm. Could be a good place to chat to him about what all of this means. Is it really as bad as people think?
And I'm really hopeful that we can get Preston or Hunter and both of them on the podcast too. I think that from what I've seen online, they're really sort of outgoing and happy to talk and engage. Did see Preston's 6-minute video on Twitter about a week ago, and a bit like when we used to see the videos from Erdem and things, I genuinely feel like there is like real sincerity in what they're saying. And we've got to remember, from a fan base point of view, we should have said this a minute ago, but no matter who is putting the money into the club, although we're a fan base, we're going to be critical when things go wrong and have our opinions. That's it. That's our given right as a fan of a football club. But it's all underpinned by this absolute gratitude that they are the current benefactors of the club and they are putting the money in. So absolute hands in the air, fantastic, and thank you. And at the same time, we're allowed to ask the tough questions, because again, it's our football club. And Preston's video, again, thought he came across, I always think he comes across really honest and sincere, really well, really, really never met him, but like the guy, just from what I've seen on the videos and things. He's a fantastic drummer, by the way. He put a little video up of him drumming today or yesterday. I thought it was so, so good. One bit of advice I would give Preston, if he's going to do another 6-minute video, turn the notifications off on your phone. That was really annoying. Pinging every sort of 40 seconds. But no, they've all seemed like pretty great guys, to be honest. And I really, really hope we can sit down with them and ask questions that they've not been asked yet. And I really hope they'd be up for that as well. Right, shall we move on to the league table and current form, Jonathan?
Yes, I feel like this might be a bit of a downturn from our last topic that we're speaking about.
But the tone's sort of died, hasn't it? I've got it in front of me. Just going to get the current league table up. That I was
feeling quite optimistic. Whilst you're finding that, I was feeling quite optimistic about how Crawley would be doing this season based upon, you know, early performances in the cup. But it seems to be, I don't know whether this is a fair, very quick summary, but it seems to be that Crawley have got the cup momentum and then that's where it ends, really.
Yeah.
It's like two different teams that turn up for the cup and then turn up for the league.
Yeah. It's just so frustrating. The start of this year, and again, we'll come on to Kevin Betsy, but new manager, looked like a really good squad, like Dom Telford and stuff. And you always get this buzz like, oh, is this going to be the year where we actually are not 12th or 14th? and right now you're thinking, oh, I wish we were 12th or 14th, because it's just horrific. It's everybody knows it's right as we speak right now. It's played 11, 1-1, drawn 3, lost 7. Sitting in the relegation zone on goal difference. Even in the worst case scenario, couldn't imagine it being that bad. The one highlight of the entire season, the win against Fulham, absolutely brilliant. Like I say, different team on that night. I don't know why. Papa John's trophy. Played 2, drawn 1, lost 1, but got the penalty shootout win for a bonus point. So if we beat Aston Villa, is it next week? The week after next? We could potentially go through in that. So who knows? Could still get in the top 2. But just general form, let's not dwell on it. It's rubbish. It's really bad. The owners know that. The players will know that, I'm sure. Kevin Betsy, I'm very, very aware of that. And I don't know what else to say. I can't pick out a positive. Our job, as well as sort of bringing the updates and behind the scenes stuff, is we are always trying to put a positive spin on things, right? We've always tried to do that. I can't find one.
Well, and sometimes you can't, can you? You can't sugarcoat SHIT, can you? So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Obviously, we'll have more discussions around this in future podcasts, I'm sure, as we get your opinions coming in on this. Plus, one of our other sections today is very much on this topic, or certainly linked to it in a heavy way. I shan't give it away now, but yeah, it is what it is, unfortunately. I just still can never get my head around how one team can like sort of turn up for the cup and another team turns up for league matches. You know, I kind of get it if it's one or two league matches where it's a poor performance, but surely if there's quality there, you would see that quality at some point in a league match shine through. Maybe Crawley have just been unlucky in general with seeing out the 90 minutes of football. Maybe it's that. And then they get like punished for it.
Here in the interviews, the interview this week, it's like, oh, those marginal decisions that keep not going our way. It just, over the course of 11 games, it's not true. There might be some, but if you just focus on the ones that didn't go your way,
be incredibly unlucky for all of them to not go your
exactly.
way, wouldn't you?
But 7 losses and with 1 win in 11, that is not just the odd decision not going our way. That's poor form. It's, I don't know where to go with it, to be honest. I only hope that, the thing is that even if we have a really, really good second two-thirds to the season, it's going to be such a long drag to get up towards the top 10 or so. We're already sort of 15 points off, I can't even believe I'm saying this, playoff places.
Hey, you've got to dream
big. A wild dream now. But, you know, we've seen some ridiculous runs, and you've seen teams do crazy runs. I think Bolton 2 years ago, they were like 22nd with about a dozen games played, and then got into the playoffs. And I think, I know they actually went up automatically, didn't they? They got on the last day, they got automatic promotion. So it can happen. It can absolutely happen. But I don't know. I don't feel like it's a thing that can happen at Crawley. And that's me being painfully honest. I'd love to not say that, but I just don't feel like that's something a club like Crawley can do with our limited budget. Unfortunately, smaller fan base, which Wagme are trying to grow. Fantastic. But by becoming the internet's team, great. But, I mean, who's driving or who's flying to Crawley to watch on a Saturday? That's not going to put the gates up. So I struggle sometimes to see, by becoming the internet's team, the benefit of that is...
Yeah, and you know, players thrive off a lot of the atmosphere, don't they, in the yeah. game? And that will help them perform better, sell out crowd. And that could be the difference. You know, the cup matches have typically been a larger crowd.
And that, I was going to say, that answers your question right there, isn't it? It's the bigger games, the bigger noises. And we've famously done well against, even when we're League One, League Two, we've always done better against the bigger teams that we're playing. Like when we play, like, the one that springs to mind is like Wolves at home, when we won 2-1 like 4 or 5 years ago. It's those kind of amazing nights that you hope they kick on into the next league game and the next cup game, but they just don't seem to at the moment. Back to the Fulham win. Amazing. How gutting was it to get Burnley away? Next I know. That is heartbreaking. Oh, it's absolutely gutting. And yes, if you want to put a positive spin, winnable game compared to other ones. But no, you want Liverpool away or Man United at home. Something ridiculously
good. Good day out kind of thing.
If we lose to Burnley now, that's like, it's like, you'll remember Fulham, but it's like, oh, one
campaign's
highlight
petered out
in a 50-game season. It's a real shame. But let's not dwell on this. Let's just hope this is the bottom of the barrel and we sort of do pick up at some point.
I guess the positive note on this is that the statement that Wagme, I think, made at the beginning of the season was that, what was it, 2 years, they wanted to see promotion. If not, you would have the chance to vote him out. That, to me, very ballsy, but also that shows that I think they're going to have to make changes quickly and they've got to know what direction they want to go in, because they've only got 2 years, and well, they're eating into that 2 years currently, aren't they?
Shall we go on to our next section, the big question? It feels like it's about time, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think we're just basically leading there.
Right, the big question this morning, 5th of October. We tweeted the big question. It was very, very simple. Three options. Betsy in, Betsy out, shake it all about.
Wonderful. You're very talented with the tweets.
We had 134 responses. It was only up for about 6-7 hours because I knew we were doing this tonight. So of those 134 responses, we had 10 said, shake it all about. And maybe in hindsight, maybe that actually meant, even though I didn't mean it, the whole thing, not just the manager, the whole thing needs a shake up. Who knows? Maybe.
Yeah, tell us your interpretation. Were you trying to just be a joker, or actually were you given some deep insight into it all?
I don't know. Maybe subconsciously I'm cleverer than I think I am. 12 of 134 said Betsy in.
Just 9%.
Yeah, which left us with 112 said Betsy out.
I can't even believe we're asking this question this early on in the season, but clearly it's brought a strong result.
It's a damning verdict. And if we go back in time, I mean, we've done these polls a lot because we've been through lots of managers, and the one that springs to mind is always drew really good debates was Chioffi, you know, because that dragged on for about 6 months, didn't it?
In fact,
were in for so long, weren't you?
If you say in or out to me, I would always fill that in with Chioffi, bless him. Because, like you say, we spoke about it so much that the only name that fits there for me in my head is Chioffi in, Chioffi out. And he yes, I was in for such a long time.
He was such a nice guy, though. He was always really kind to us at matches. He'd let us interview him. He was really, really cool. But
kindness doesn't win football matches, does it?
Betsy, for all I know, he is... all right, Jonathan. All right.
I'm just
Kevin
reflecting
Betsy,
an opinion.
He might be the nicest guy in the world. But the old adage, it stands the test of time. Football's about results, and we have not got results. We've got one result, 1-11. And how long do you let that go on for? We didn't start this question right. I've seen people saying Betsy out for the last three or four games, the last three or four losses. But it was the only real question to ask for this episode. And that poll result there, I don't think it stunned me, but to have 84% say out 11 league games into a season, that is kind of unprecedented. We did also ask at the same time, when you've answered that question, if it's a no, tell us who you'd like to come in, or just give us a thought. So I'm just going to read through a couple of these, okay? Dan Palmer, damning verdict here. He's produced nothing short of an embarrassment on the pitch. We've got a 40-plus person squad, and all he does is blame our shocking form on injuries and referees. He's out of his depth and should have gone over a month ago. Would be love to see David Artell come in if that's still an option. Andy Salmon, I see no improvement in any games. Constantly put ourselves under pressure and too slow in transition. Also, we are crying out for goals, so leave last season division top scorer on the bench until the 86th minute, Dom Telford. Whatever the decision, it just needs to be made now. This is Alex Burks. It can't go on like this. They either need to sack him and move on, or come out and back him. And that's significant from Alex, actually, because they've done neither. Generally, you would see an owner either make a decision and back him, sack him, or come out and publicly, very vocally back them. And as far as I'm aware, the ownership have not done that, which is actually, thank you for pointing that out, Alex, they haven't, which is a bit odd. We do know, I understand that Preston and I think possibly Hunter are in the UK right now. So by the time this podcast goes out, it might be irrelevant. They might have been sacked, who knows. We've done that in the past. Going through the shorter ones here, George said he needs to go now. We're in serious trouble if it's not sorted soon. Roy Savage, another one that said David Artell to come in. Others for Rob Edwards, Paul Tisdale. Vincent said splash the cash for Big Sam.
Love that.
Mark Underwood, Tisdale, and Rob Layton said he's going nowhere soon, I expect. Will cost them too much. Yes, so a payoff clause to get rid of him. Who knows? There must be that in his contract, I imagine.
Yeah.
It's a really poor situation. God, getting set and like, just feeling for him. Nobody likes anybody to lose their job, but it's a football club, and he understands that. I'm sure he understands the risks of being a football manager. That if you don't get the results, it's see you later.
On the flip side, though, it's like, well, how much time do you give them to start building something and to instill their philosophy on the team? Because if you keep chopping and changing, surely that's going to be a bit worse off.
You can ask that question endlessly, couldn't you? Any point in any sort of manager's reign, I suppose. I totally get it, completely get it. Somebody said, this isn't my opinion, but somebody said the other day, and I sort of, it pricked my ears up, Jonathan, it did. And they said, what if he's in the job because he's basically a bit of a yes man to the Wagme owners, and no matter what crazy stunt they do to bring in fans or the internet's team or NFTs, he's just got to be like their yes man. As long as he does that, he's got a job. And I thought, there's some substance in that, I suppose. I kind of see that.
Yeah. Unfounded, but there is substance, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because he's never come out and he's always said good things about the owners. He gets on. He apparently gets on with the owners, so that's all fantastic. So I just thought that was worth mentioning because I thought, yeah, I kind of see that at the moment.
I guess it's only a thing you really know when, you know, they've left the club, really.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, just on a very quick tangent, I'd love to get Erdem on the podcast.
Erdem, if you still listen, if you still love the Straight Red podcast.
Erdem's still listening. He's smiling right now listening to this.
We haven't forgotten you.
Do you know, talking about managers and things, do you know someone nobody suggested? Or, do you know what I would do? What I would do right now?
Go on, who would you suggest?
This is me being really sort of players that I love and a bit sentimental.
You're not going to say something like Dean Howe to come back.
Shut up. Let me say it. Don't ruin it. I would say if I was putting, if the boys came to me and said, Ewan, you're in charge, what should we do? I'd say, get Glenn Morris back in goal. First of all, 5 clean sheets at Gillingham. Why is he not in our squad? No brainer. Oh my God, I couldn't believe it when he left. So I'd do 2 things. I'd put Glenn Morris in goal, and this is not going to be popular. I'd get Lewis Young manager.
You have a soft spot for Lewis Young, don't you?
Love Lewis Young.
You really do.
I love him. I think he's brilliant. I just love the guy. Such a nice guy. Never, ever, ever got the credit he deserved, I don't think. Absolutely Crawley through and through. And that is from...
He's still in the coaching staff?
Last time I looked. And what I'm saying is as an interim. So I would vote Betsy out. I think there's just no signs for me of it going anywhere positive at all. So in my opinion, Betsy out, Lewis Young interim, get Glenn Morris back in goal, and then you find yourself a Tisdale or an Artel or someone with experience. And we've seen, this is not the first time we've had a manager with sort of no or very little League Two experience. And it's always the same story. You need a manager that's done a couple of 100 games in the Football League, who's been through the mill of a few seasons.
I tell you who we need.
Go on.
Perfect fit. Steve Evans. We need him to give some hair dry treatment.
Christ. Do you know what? I think a lot of the fans would absolutely love that. I think that ship sailed.
Yes. No, it has. I just think cracking era when you look back on it. But yes, that ship has probably sailed.
So it is almost unanimous that's the way the Crawley fans feel at the moment. Who knows? If Hunter and Preston are listening, I'm sure they don't need to read that or see that. They'll be absolutely well aware. If you see the comments come back on any of their posts, it's always about the same thing. So I'm sure it's duck off water, not duck off a water's back. Water off a duck's back now already. But yeah, that was the big question we put out. We always do that. We try to in every single episode, something that we know is sort of like on people's lips and a hot topic. So we'll keep that up. And thank you for all of your comments and all the votes as well. It does help us out a little bit in terms of content when there's some people say some stuff. And to be honest, this is our first episode back. It was never meant to be too long. So we've had a good run of like...
As always, we've done a good job at rambling.
We do ramble on, don't we? But we always try to keep the ramble entertaining and relevant and on topic. So that's all I had for like the big question and Broadfield Buzz and stuff. And now what we struggled with for this episode is doing... I used to do pages and pages of research for every episode. Just really busy today, only got a couple of pages in. But from next week, fingers crossed, everything going to plan. We've got an amazing interview coming up. And then monthly, or maybe slightly more than monthly, hopefully, we'll do like the really in-depth, full Broadfield Buzz, full big question, full your input. That is, again, key. We're really, really looking. If you want to reach out to us at any point, get in touch, leave those voice notes. If you want to come on the show and have more than a 15 seconds, and if you've got loads to say, come and let us know. And we've already had a few people in touch and said, yeah, I'd love to have I'd love to come and sit down with you for 10, 15 minutes and just say what's on my mind. Amazing. Love that. Love that. Okay, and we always end the show, Jonathan, with a little bit of added time, just little bits and pieces that don't really fit anywhere else in the show. And it's only two that I've picked up from the website this week. So Marcus Doyle, kit man, kit and equipment manager, leaving the club after a couple of years. I've never really spoken to him too much, but he, very, very clearly, everyone in the club and the backroom staff love the guy. Sadly, he is moving on for a new opportunity. However, the club are now, of course, looking for a new kit and equipment manager. So if that is something, I don't think there's an age limit on this. When I was at the club, we had sort of three or four kit managers, and they were all come different age groups, different walks of life, different backgrounds. If you want to do it for a season or two, is generally that it's usually a couple of seasons the kind of thing you do it for. But I would say if you're leaving university, or you're retiring soon, or you are retired, got a bit of spare time, it is an amazing job to do for a couple of years, to be on the coach and doing the kit, and you get to know the players, you've got the ear of the players, you're a confidant for them. I think it would be brilliant, especially for like a university leaver who's looking for a job but doesn't really know what they want to do with their life quite yet. That would be the experience of that would be so, so valuable, I think. Only got until Friday, the 14th of October, to apply for that. You can do it on the Crawley website, and your email careers@crawleytownfc.com. There is a link to a bit more of a description of what the job involves day to day. I've been there. I've seen kit managers. It is a tough job. It's long hours, but I think the experience is the reward more than the salary.
It really picture the heart of the club, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And as we're advertising this on this podcast, here's a little deal we'll do. If you get the job after listening to us, promise that you'll come on here and give us all the little things that are going around.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like that. Absolutely.
It's a good deal, isn't it?
Fantastic. And another one from the website. Again, we always try and talk about the positive stuff as well as the in-depth questions and stuff that may be not so good. Multi-game vouchers are now on sale for matches. So if you are in, very, very timely this, we are all being affected by the price squeeze and the credit crunch and mortgages and
cost of living crisis.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And it's we are all in it. If you couldn't afford or can't afford now like a season ticket, but you do come to at least 5 or 10 games, you can get a 5 or 10 game multi-game voucher now. The 10 game one, for example, if you're an adult standing for 10 games is £120, so equivalent of £12 per game. If you're a young adult, which I think is 16 to 25, don't quote me on that.
It might be 21, unless they've upped the age bracket.
£40, £4 a game for 10 games. That's nuts. Absolutely nuts. And even less, £32 for 10 games, £3.20 a game for that young person. So incredible value. Of course, if it's everybody's got their own financial situation, but I think hopefully that helps a few people out by saving a few quid if you are planning to go to a few games. So I always think that's quite good.
And also it goes without saying that, if you are even more drastically affected by this whole, situation we unfortunately find ourselves in the UK, just shout out on Twitter. You know, we're a close-knit fan base. We would always love to, chat or find someone that can help you out. It's never nice knowing that there's people going on who are struggling to the extent where, things are becoming a bit too tough. Always speak out, and we're always here for a chat kind of thing.
Brilliant. All right, fantastic. I think, unless you've got anything else, Jonathan, that is episode 27.
Yes. What a milestone that is. I never thought we'd see 30. But, we're closing down on the big 3-0, and maybe we'll close down on the big 5-0. But I won't dream too early.
So thank you so much for listening, Jonathan. It's been a pleasure to sit with you again after such a long time. It's been really, really good, and reminiscing about all the old segments and things and what's to come. So our full intention is minimum one per month, a few bonus big interviews in there if we can get them. Give us your feedback. What do you want left in? What do you want taken out? If things are being taken out, what do you want it replaced with? This is your show, so we want to adapt it as much as we can to what you want it to be.
Yes, very much. Thank you so much for your love and for your support, and from Ewan and myself, until next time, we'll see you soon.